Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Today we are joined by the conductor of the Big Blue Train, our old friend Dan Plesac from MLB Network. Danny, how you doing?
Doing good, Luke. A little all-star break game going on in D.C. Actually not going to the game for the first time in a couple of years, but nice little break for me. And how about the second half of the year? Looks certainly a lot more promising for the Cubs than it did 2 weeks before the break.
I mean, some Cubs fans were in panic. I don't want to say any names, David Kaplan. But the Cubs are 55-38, 2.5 game lead on the Brewers as they enter the second half, 5 games up in the loss column. Dan, it's just the 5th time in their team history they've gone into an all-star game with the best record in the National League. Is this team good enough to win the World Series again?
Yes. It's amazing they're at where they're at considering the lack of production that they have gotten out of Yu Darvish, got big-ticket guy free agent. Tyler Chatwood has struggled. I'll give Tyler Chatwood this. I get it. He's almost walked a guy per inning, but he's taking the ball every 5 days. I do think that he's going to pitch better in the second half of the year. John Lester has been unbelievable. Brandon Morrow, the bullpen, has been solid. Think about it. It took a while for them to get their first baseman going, Rizzo. Chris Bryant has been on and off the DL a couple of times. Things have not gone the right way for the Cubs, and they're 2.5 games in front, have the best record in the NL, and I think right now, Luke, it's their division to win. I don't think Milwaukee right now. I kind of felt like Milwaukee's chance was last year. They kind of have the same cast of guys with the exception of Yelich and Kane. Their bullpen's a little bit worn down. They've had to go to them early and often, and I just think right now the Cubs are sitting in a good spot. And don't be surprised in the next week to 10 days that if Jed and Theo don't try to do something, they're not done tinkering with the 2018 version of the Cubs. Expect them to do something at the deadline.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Dan, Cubs have 6 pitchers. The great Chris Kamka came up with this, that have made 8 or more starts. Only Lester has an ERA under 3.90. His is 2.58. Obviously, Lester's been great, but can some of these other guys turn it around? Kyle Hendricks really hasn't been at his best in the first half of the season, and Quintana has been good but not great. Can they get by with this rotation being this way? Because some Cubs fans think they need a big piece to the rotation to be added yet.
They can get by with it. And listen, Kyle Hendricks, to me, he's showing signs of snapping out of it. I'm a little bit concerned about Tyler Chatwood. Quintana, to me, it's one good game. And I just look at Quintana. I think overall I've been a little bit disappointed. I thought he was going to be more of an impact pitcher. I thought he was going to be a number two, a solid number two behind Lester. Luke, I don't know if he's a two. I think he's more of a 3 or a 4, and I know that the Cubs front office probably doesn't like hearing that, but I just don't think he's the kind of guy that scares somebody. Like, they wouldn't go into a series against the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks or some team in the East, the Nationals, the Phillies, and they're going to worry about Quintana. They're worried about Lester. But I think Yu Darvish is the key. The Cubs can be really good. They could be a team that could be the favorite to win, to get to the World Series for the National League if Darvish comes back. He's got to be a lot better than he's been up to this point.
Dan, what's the deal with him? I mean, I can't figure it out. You hear a lot of reports of people saying he's soft. He doesn't like the big stage. It's a mental thing for him. If that's true, if it's a mental thing and Darvish is maybe not the most mentally tough player, do his teammates know it, and how would that impact the clubhouse?
You know, this is the big concern. The concern is, Luke, there were three games last year that kind of defined you, Darvish. And I think for a lot of people, I'd be one included, that were like, okay, the two starts of the World Series weren't very good. Game 7 of the World Series, I was hoping for a mulligan, that he was going to come back and be that guy. So there were two games in the World Series he didn't pitch very well. And then when all the eyes of the baseball world were watching at the trade deadline last July, he really didn't have a very good start the week before the trade deadline, when there was a lot of interest in Yu Darvish. He's come out and said some things that he didn't feel like going back to L.A., and he's under a lot of pressure. Guess what? This isn't the 1955 Cubs, the 1962 Cubs. This is a different edition of the Cubs. And I think Theo and Jed, the culture's changed. It's about winning. It's about the World Series. They're going to have a hard time winning it all unless they get Darvish and or somebody else that can complement John Lester. And that's just the way I feel. I think Quintana is a good pitcher. I don't think he's a solid number two. Now, he may prove me wrong the second half of the season, but I've yet to see since he's put on a Cub uniform that you'll go into a series going Lester 1, Quintana 2, but we've got a shot to win the first two games.
So maybe it's Quintana, it's Darvish, and it's Hendricks. And if two of the three have big second halves or good postseasons, then they have a real shot. Is that what you're saying?
And they're going to have to hope that John Lester doesn't have a drop-off. Listen, he's not getting any younger. There's a lot of mileage under that left arm. But John Lester had a powerhouse first half of the season. I think the key, it's within that locker room right now. It's got to be Tyler Chatwood has to pitch better. They went out and signed him for a big contract. Chatwood and Yu Darvish have to be better. If they are better, they're going to run away with the Central, and they've got a shot to get back to the World Series.
You know, something I've always wondered about Darvish, he came in and everybody talks about it. He throws 12, 13 pitches or whatever it is. Should he maybe just scale it back to three when he struggles? You know, I know it's a health thing right now, but when he comes back, should he just simplify it as a former pitcher down to make, you know, two or three pitches that he's really comfortable with?
Luke, that's what the industry has been trying to figure out with Yu Darvish now for 5 or 6 years. When he was with the Texas Rangers, Mike Maddux, I had several talks with Mike Maddux about Yu Darvish, and he just said a world of talent. Four-seamer, two-seamer, cutter, slider, changeup, split. He's got them all. He's got a forkball, you name it. He has all the pitches. I think the one thing he lacks, this is just my opinion. I haven't seen him every 5 days, but I've seen enough of Yu Darvish. I'd like to see him attack the strike zone better. This is a guy that's 95 to 97 miles an hour, and sometimes he goes out and he tries to pitch like Kyle Hendricks. I can guarantee you this. Kyle Hendricks wouldn't sink the ball and throw as many changeups if he threw 95 to 98. Kyle Hendricks does it because that's how he survives. And I think at times Yu Darvish doesn't give himself enough credit for how good his fastball is. He's afraid to throw his fastball at times.
You're listening to the Cubs Talk podcast. Luke Stuckmeyer and Dan Plesac from MLB Network. As we look back on the first half for the Cubs and what's line ahead and hopefully the postseason for the Cubs coming up this fall. Dan, we talked about some of the things that have to happen here in the second half. What about Monday's home run derby and Kyle Schwarber? How much of it did you see? I thought it was one of the best home run derbies they've ever had. And I don't get into that kind of stuff.
Luke, I'm 1,000% with you. I haven't really been a big fan of it, but I was captivated. I think the new system with taking a timeout, and Kyle Schwarber just put on an exhibition. And it was just almost, you know what, it's almost like one of those where like a pitcher, you pitch too well to lose a game, but you lost the game 1-0. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, he did about as well as you could do. And Bryce Harper, the hometown behind him, his dad was just throwing some great pitches for him to hit some home runs. It was a heck of a show. And think about it. I mean, Bryce Harper was under the gun, and all of a sudden it was just like one after another. It was like boom, 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 boom. And once he started to get close, you could just feel the energy in that ballpark, and there was just no stopping Bryce Harper. But that was a terrific showing by Kyle Schwarber.
I mean, it's in an era where we're getting to all-star games, even the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball. Baseball's still my one all-star game that I can watch from beginning to end and enjoy it. But the outside stuff becomes kind of corny, and I think they have a cast of characters that they put in it that it worked. Would you worry about Schwarber? Because some Cubs fans worry that, oh, he and Baez may affect their swing because Aaron Judge thought it impacted him last year.
I don't think so. You know what I think a lot of it comes down to? I think the media starts to make a lot more of it, and I think at times the players start to buy into it, and all it takes is for one of these guys to get off to a slow start in the second half of the season, and it's easy for me and you and everybody else to point the finger and say, why did he do this? Because Aaron Judge said last year that it messed up his swing. I don't think it messes up your swing. I think if it does anything, you exert a lot of energy when a lot of guys are resting over that All-Star break for 3 or 4 days. And think about it, man. That was intense last night for Kyle Schwarber. It was intense for everybody. First of all, very rarely do you take batting practice without a cage out there, so that's new. Second of all, the stadium's packed. Third of all, you don't want to be the guy that swings and misses or hits 4 home runs and everybody else has hit 15 to 20 home runs. So there's a lot of pressure to go out there and not only to hit the ball hard, but to hit the ball hard and hit it over the fence. And there's a lot of energy. And I guarantee you, Kyle Schwarber woke up today and he's like so happy that he did it, but he's going to be mentally drained. That's a big stage or a lot of eyeballs watching it. So I'm not sure the swings mess up the guy. It could be that the guy doesn't get that 3-day break that he's accustomed to having. Because in my opinion, the home run derby, there's a lot more pressure on a guy in a home run derby than there is hitting in the game tonight in the fifth inning off of Max Scherzer. Nobody's going to remember if Kyle Schwarber popped up in the fourth inning, but they're going to remember if he was in the home run derby and he hit one home run and everybody else hit 15 or 20, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that will be what I remember from this All-Star game, will be Schwarber getting to the finals and then Schwarber going head-to-head with Bryce Harper. I mean, I was also watching Schwarber and Harper thinking, well, they could both be in the Cubs outfield if things play. This Cubs outfield, Dan, in the first half really showed me something. I mean, Al Mora is third in the National League with batting average. Hayward has improved himself. They're both great defensive players, but Hayward has improved himself at the plate. Schwarber's much better defensively, and he's hitting the bombs again. Is the Cubs outfield, the way it is now, good enough for you? They might be the best in the National League, but are they good enough moving forward to not even need Bryce Harper at this point? You know, a lot of fans want to talk about maybe Harper coming back to play with his old buddy Chris Bryant.
I don't think they need Bryce Harper. I think right now everybody on the north side and fans of the Cubs, they would be like right now licking their chops saying, hey, we're in good spot. If Yu Darvish and Tyler Chatwood were pitching to where their price tags were right now, we wouldn't even have this conversation. The issue hasn't been scoring runs. Now, with that said, at times that lineup gets a little swing and miss happy. They can score 8 runs Monday, 9 runs on Tuesday, and then Wednesday and Thursday. This was a hard team to figure out, Luke. Up until 2 weeks before the All-Star break, they'd score 6 runs on Monday, then wouldn't score Tuesday and Wednesday, and then score 12 runs on Thursday, and you average it out and say, man, they're scoring 5 runs a game. But three of the five games, they were scoring 1 or 2 runs. I love the offense. Listen, they've got enough pop. The position players, the big key for the Cubs is two things. Lester needs to continue to be the ace, and either Chatwood or Yu Darvish have to start pitching like the Cubs thought they were getting when they bought both of these guys via free agent. If that happens, the big blue train will be back in the World Series.
Yeah, because they've had some surprises, pleasant surprises. I mean, like I said, Al Mora's been great. Baez is playing like an MVP. Mike Montgomery, where would they be without Mike Montgomery in the first half? Who saw Hayward coming?
You know what?
I didn't.
He's bounced between the rotation, back to the bullpen. He seems to like that. He's a really good 4-5 swing guy in the rotation. You talked about Baez. The bullpen has been rock solid. If Brandon Morrow can stay off the DL, Carl Edwards has thrown the ball really well. The lefties out of the pen have thrown the ball really well. My concern is with Tyler Chatwood and Yu Darvish. If one of the two get things straightened out, the Cubs are going to run away with the Central.
I tell you what, Dan, I'm so glad that I'm not Theo Epstein running the team, because a couple of years ago, I probably would have traded Javi Baez to get some pieces back, thinking, oh, this will work. He's not a fit for Theo. He's the most exciting player in baseball right now. You have a team where you have Rizzo, you have Chris Bryant, an MVP, and yet it's the Javi Baez show every night. Everybody wants to see what he's going to do. He reminds me of Derrick Rose before the knee injuries. He's the most explosive player in the game. He's the most electric player in the game. And he plays with this contagious energy, whether it's base running or whatnot. How much does he mean to this team, and how good could he get?
Luke, I had a guy ask me last week, all things considered, who would you rather have? Who do you think's a better player, Ryan Sandberg or Javi Baez? And I said, what do you want to talk about? Well, who's a better defender? Ryan Sandberg is in the Hall of Fame, won all the – listen, right now, Javi Baez is as good as anybody that's ever worn a glove at second base. And I get it. I know people are going to listen to this, say, oh, what about Joe Morgan and Bill Mazeroth? I'm telling you, there haven't been a handful of guys that can play second base, move him to short, move him over to third, wherever you put this guy. Think about it. We didn't know what a tagger was until Javi Baez arrived, right?
Right.
And all the industry wants to talk about is he's the greatest tagger ever. I remember thinking, like, a tagger, the guy is a magician with the glove. He can go up the middle. He can turn a double play. He has a flair for the dramatic. I think the thing, in my opinion, if he went down, they could ill afford to lose him more than any player on that roster for all the things you touched on. Defensively, offensively, he has a knack for hitting in the clutch. He's a guy that swings at everything, Luke. But at times, you go back a couple of years ago in that playoff series against the Giants, he'll swing at ball one in the dirt. He'll swing at ball two over his head, and he's 0-2. The next thing you know, he works the count to 3-2, and he hits a line drive base hit somewhere. Yeah, you're going to have to live with him. He's a little inconsistent. He's one of those guys, he runs till somebody tags him. He's going to keep swinging and keep swinging, but you know what he does? He brings a lot of energy every day. There's never a lack of effort, never a lack of hustle. He plays with flair. In my opinion, he brings a dimension that team really needs. He's the one position player they can ill afford to lose for an extended period.
So what player from the past would you compare him to? I know he's a different type of player, but the energy, maybe Pete Rose? A totally different type of player, but you'd see Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle going over to third base. That part of him reminds me of Pete Rose. Who does he remind you of?
He has a lot of that. He's a guy that plays with the – I tell you who he reminds me of, and it's kind of a bad analogy, but if you watch Mookie Betts for the Boston Red Sox right now, Mookie Betts plays with that same kind of like – that energy, like when Mookie Betts is playing right field and he hits one in the gap or he hits a home run, Mookie Betts and Javi Baez to me are the two guys in the game right now that they just exude energy. And I it's hard to make a comparable. I see some of Robbie Alomar and Baez because some of the things he does with the glove, I've only seen Robbie Alomar do. I think this guy has tremendous pop. He has a little bit of Jeff Kent, because Jeff Kent might have been the best power-hitting second baseman besides Ryan Sandberg. He can steal some bases, so he reminds you a little bit of Ivan De Jesus. This guy's a little bit of everybody, but what I like the most is he brings it every day. Now, listen, he'll drive you nuts. He might run through a stop sign at third base, and he might swing at a 3-0 pitch over his head and pop it up with the bases loaded and nobody out. But I'll tell you one thing, Luke, he's out there giving it 100%.
And he has now put himself in that same class as Rizzo and Bryant, totally untradeable, correct? No matter what the price would be, he cannot be traded.
No, can't move him right now, without question. No, it's amazing how in a year and a half the roles have flipped, where that's how we felt about Addison Russell, but now I think Baez is the one guy because he's too valuable. If you had to tomorrow, you could put him at third for a month or you could put him at short. Nobody in the game of baseball can play second, short, and third as well as this guy can play all three of them.
So looking into the future, if there's one guy, you know, the Cubs really haven't traded off the major league roster, and you keep thinking about big moves, and there was earlier in the season people were talking about Machado. What would you give up to get Machado on your team? When the Cubs finally do trade off the major league roster, because they've traded so many of their high-level prospects who are now, you know, doing big things in the major leagues, where do you think Theo will finally go? Who's the guy they'll finally move when they have to? And I don't think it's that point right now.
Addison Russell, because they can move Baez from second to short and not miss a beat. That's just my opinion. I don't know anything. I just know this. When you have a guy like Baez, Chris Bryant's not going anywhere. Anthony Rizzo's not going anywhere, right? Almora's a center fielder. Baez can't play center field. Probably if you gave him a couple of weeks and sent him to Arizona, he'd figure out how to do that too and be a good center fielder. To me, it's Addison Russell, because I think when you have a guy like Baez, that if Joe Maddon tomorrow had to put Baez at shortstop for the rest of the year, the Cubs wouldn't miss a beat. They would be the same or if not better at shortstop, because that's how good of a player. So I think if you're talking about who would be a guy that would be on the move, my opinion, Addison Russell would be that guy.
Okay, I got one more question for you. On the Rush, our Facebook show yesterday, we were asking about the home run derby. If you took all Chicago baseball players, White Sox, Cubs, past, present, and you put them in a home run derby, who would win the home run derby?
Dave Kingman. he might swing and he might hit 205, but I would have loved to see Dave Kingman in a home run derby.
There he is. Dave Kingman, the pride of Prospect High School, by the way. Danny, you think they're going to do it?
Yeah, I do. I think they're getting back to the World Series. But with that said, Luke, I think there are three teams in baseball right now that are head and shoulders better than everybody else. I think the Houston Astros are just a machine. They're rock solid. The only weakness is the ninth inning, but I think they'll get that solved. Red Sox, rock solid. Yankees, a little bit of issue with their starting pitching. I think the Yankees, the Astros, and the Red Sox, they're head and shoulders above everybody else. And the next team, number four on that list, is the Cubs. I think the Cubs are the best team in the NL, but those three AL teams, all three of those teams are better, Luke. Better pitching, better lineups, they're just deeper.
Well, we will see when the fall comes around. Danny, hope the golf game's doing well. Hope everything's going well.
It's going well, and I plan on the big blue train will be rolling in the month of October again, and hopefully I'll be seeing you on the corner of Clark and Addison sometime mid to late October.
We need to get you a new conductor's hat. Dan Plesac from the MLB Network. Dan, thanks. Appreciate it.
You got it, Luke. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Thank you so much for listening. A big thanks to Dan Plesac from MLB Network. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. We'll talk to you soon.